Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Introduce yourselves.
I'm Angela Brown, and I'm the CEO at Community Promise Federal Credit Union.
And I'm Jim Houston. I'm the board chairman of Community Promise.
So it was in February of 2013 where you held an open house in the Edison neighborhood for the credit union. How soon after that did it open?
Well, actually, we opened for business on January the 2nd, 2013. We had just received our charter in October of 2012.
There were no financial institutions in the Edison neighborhood. Is that correct?
That's correct.
There was not even a branch office of a bank, that's not even a drive-thru.
Right. They left there some years earlier. So that left the neighborhood totally, what I want to say, at the disposal of the payday lenders, the rent-to-own people. So, and all of that, and that situation kind of spurred about a dozen people in the community at that time, kind of initiated by Monsignor Michael Hazard of St. Joe's and other community people to say...
And that's St. Joseph Catholic Church? Yes.
St. Joseph Catholic Church. So the citizens became very concerned that more and more people were falling prey to the, especially to pay their lenders. So after some background check on alternative financing, alternative banking, at that time led by Mr. Lee Kirk, who formerly was a city attorney in Kalamazoo, they began to investigate possibilities of finding some alternate types of banking for the citizens in the neighborhood and in Kalamazoo. So they...
Were you part of that 12 at the time?
I was not a part of the first 2 years. I was not part of it. But the last 4 years or so, I was...
So this was a six-year effort.
Right. So they, Lee Kirk sought me out because he... knew of my financial background, et cetera, and he asked me if I would take a lead role in helping to bring about the chartering process for the credit union.
Let's take a pause real quick. Can you tell us what that financial background is?
Right. I'd been in corporate finance for several companies, from the Kellogg Corporation to a research company on Mattawan. And then my final 4 years of work, I became a trust officer with one of the local banks. So all of that background he thought would be helpful in chartering the credit union.
Speaking of background, for our listeners who may or may not know, can you just give us a quick sense of the Edison neighborhood and why it would be that much more important to have an alternative to payday lenders?
Well, the Edison neighborhood is quite a diverse neighborhood. It has, whites, blacks, Hispanics, all in dispersed with one another, the neighborhood. And the neighborhood had gone through some transition from a very vibrant neighborhood about 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and because some people had moved out and it left a very poor population there. And so the only thing left for them in the neighborhood was to go to payday lenders instead of being victimized by it. So, and more of them were losing what they had, and which wasn't much. And so that the neighborhood had been steadily going down. And we knew that in order to stop it, we have to keep people from losing their homes. We had to bring some more vitality to that neighborhood. So the group decided that we would find a place in the neighborhood to put the credit union and kind of make it as kind of an anchor for some of the surrounding businesses in the neighborhood. And so, in a sense, we became kind of an anchor there, and we have become an anchor in the neighborhood. Pleased to say that the neighborhood now is on the rise. We've had a sub shop. We've had a very extraordinarily good restaurant, a Vietnamese restaurant now in the neighborhood. So I invite everybody to come and patronize it.
Before we get into the particulars of your credit union, I'd like to just dwell in the concept behind this. Is what you're saying that if you address the financial needs of the people in the community, then the housing stock can be preserved. People will stay, could stay longer. And so therefore, that makes it a stronger community, an economic development engine.
Yeah, I'm glad you said development, because the particular category of credit union that we fit into and that the NCUA designate us as a community development credit union for low income. So we're a community development credit union. And so that's our focus, is helping to develop the community and bring financial development to the community. So that put us in a totally different category. Nonprofit, we focus on people who have a hard time helping themselves. And as such, we're the only type of credit union that can receive grants and donations because of that particular classification.
Can you give a quick sense of why payday lending is a problem for those who might be economically disenfranchised? Why that might keep them in the cycle of being impoverished?
Okay, scenario. You are probably making $200-$300 a week, but you find out you don't have enough money to reach to the end of that week, so you go to a payday lender because you can't go to any other bank or credit union because your credit score is not high enough for them to give you a short-term loan. So, but these credit these payday lenders are willing to, more than willing to, loan you, say, $50-$60 to get you through the week or through the, you know, if you get paid every 2 weeks, through the, every 2 weeks. But then you have to pay it back in 2 weeks. Well, if you're already short $60 or so, and you have to borrow again to get you through the next payday period, now you're about $120 or so in the hole. And all the time, they're charging you interest. So now you've been charging, you're paying interest on the first 60 plus interest on the second 60. And this interest rates can balloon up to 400% interest. And since you can't already pay all of this stuff, what's the other alternative? Bankruptcy.
Now, let's get to the core of the credit union. Ms. Brown, if you want to jump in at this point, what is fundamentally different? If I, you know, the customer walks into your facility, what's different?
So traditionally, the financial institutions, as Jim said, with people that are challenged with credit scores, they're not allowed to even open an account. So they have to go to a payday lender for loans. They have to go to check and go facilities to cash their checks. Some of the used dealerships in the area are charging exorbitant financing fees and interest rates. So as Jim mentioned, 400% interest on payday loans, check fees. We allow them to come in and open an account no matter what their situation is. There's no discrimination. We welcome them. Our mission is completely unique because we are actually trying to help individuals that are low to moderate income, especially challenged with credit, build their credit back up, teach them budgeting skills. And you were questioning, you know, how does this help the housing industry? Well, as you build your credit up, eventually things become more affordable because everything is based off of the credit score. So let's say you start out with a very low score, under 600. As we help them build their credit score up, insurance is more affordable, rent is more affordable. Every loan that they get is more affordable, which increases their discretionary income. Eventually, we're helping individuals pave the way to get that score high enough to purchase houses.
Is there a minimum amount to start the account?
$5 deposit to open an account and a valid ID.
You were talking about check cashing services. What is the fee, you know, for check cashing? Need someone have an account there?
You do.
Okay. How is that check cashing service different than, say, at some other bank?
So if an individual opens up an account, the most we charge to cash a check is $3. Unless they have a compensating balance, then there's no fee. We also implemented a new checking account program for individuals that are not allowed to have checking or have had issues at other financial institutions. It's a second chance alternative program. And in that program, there is a monthly fee of $10 a month, but then we do not charge them any additional check cashing fees when they come in. So they can come in and cash 10 checks if they need to within the month, and the fee is waived.
In other words, if you have at least the amount of the check,
correct,
then it won't cost you anything. And if you don't, it'll cost you the $3.
It's a $3 fee.
Tell me a little bit about, did you call it second chance banking?
Yes, second chance alternative checking program.
Yes.
So there are instances where individuals may not be able to open an account because of their credit score at all. So mm-hmm. they cannot have that check cashing facility, the services available to them, which has forced them in the past to go to the check and goes. Also, they may have had issues with maybe bouncing checks in the past or have balances that are owed to other financial institutions. And that information is actually reported to a check system information system. And it blocks them from being able to go back to another institution and open an account again because they make them go and pay the balances owed to other financial institutions before they allow them to open a new checking account anywhere else.
So what you're saying is individuals who do owe a balance at another bank would not have to pay that and can open an account with you through your second chance checking program.
Exactly.
What other types of services do you offer there that's different than other banks?
We offer fair pricing on products and services across the board. So whether you have really good credit or a challenged credit, a lot of times individuals that want to purchase a vehicle will go out to a dealership and they'll find financing for them with, you know, challenged credit. What they're doing to people in the community is they're tacking on anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 in financing fees on the Blue Book price of the vehicle, and then charging them 25% interest. So Community Promise, we never do that to individuals. We don't charge additional financing fees. We try to make sure that the price that they're paying for the car is a fair price, and then we give them fair pricing on the interest rates for the vehicle itself. So we have actually taken people out of predatory loans, such as I've mentioned, and gotten them into half of the payment, for instance. We have a new program. It's called Refi My Ride, and actually I have to give One Detroit Credit Union the credit for that program because the CEO there, Hank Hubbard, and I had a discussion, and he shared this new program with me, and so now we're implementing it at Community Promise. And basically, if people are paying astronomical fees and interest rates and monthly payments, we will take them out of that loan and refi it. A lot of times, we can cut their payment in half. We can cut the interest rate in half. So we're doing everything we can to help them have more discretionary income and make life more affordable.
Refi?
Refi My Ride. R-E-F-I. Refi My Ride.
What does FI stand for?
Finance.
That program that she just mentioned is indicative of how we try to search for good ideas on how to serve our people. And we're always looking for creative ways to do that, even if we have to look to some other, you know, organization that's coming up with ways. So we don't want to just rely on our own, you know, ways of doing it, because we want to keep expanding what we offer, you know, our members. So if we see a better idea, then we find out if we can adapt that to our own programs. So we're constantly looking for ways to help our members in that regard.
It's my understanding that you've been trying to establish some relationships with local auto dealers.
Yes.
So that they may automatically consider you for loans. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. We've gone out to most of the local area dealerships and let them know that we are here to help people that have challenges with credit, to help them avoid that predatory lending situation that I spoke of, the financing fees, the 25% interest. Let them know that we are the alternative to predatory lending. We're offering fair pricing on products and services. And so what they're doing is they're actually sending individuals that are within the city of Kalamazoo to the credit union, and we are doing the underwriting and the financing for the vehicles at a fair price.
What kind of interests might someone be looking at if they go through financing with you?
We are as low as 2.75 for a paper and up to 14% for a challenge score versus 25% interest and $1,000 to $5,000 in fees.
And that might be on a loan of how much of a loan do you give?
We actually just increased our limits. So on used and new vehicles, we are financing up to $35,000.
And a person would have to have an account with you?
They have to have an account. They need to be a member to have access to the products and services. We are also offering a payday lending alternative loan, which an example of what Jim had mentioned was normally when you take a loan out, payday lenders charge you fees on that loan. It's about $15 for every 100. They make you pay it back in 2 weeks. So if you borrow, you know, $200, they charge you $30 in fees. Then you go back in 2 weeks. If you say, I can't pay it back, they roll that $230 over again, charge you another $30 in fees. And eventually it becomes that 400% interest. What we're doing is we're saying, let's say it's a $700 loan. We give them 12 months or longer to pay back loans, up to 5 years and up to $5,000 in personal loans. And For instance, the $700 loan would be $65 a month. And so we're giving them more room with their discretionary income to have time to pay that back and just make things more affordable.
Now, all these programs sound wonderful. How have they been working? Are people, in fact, making their payments?
They are, and we have seen wonderful situations of people that have been able to build their credit. They've gone from an under 600 score. They've built it up high enough where they can actually purchase a home. We have done credit building. We have a relationship building loan. We teach budgeting. We're doing everything to educate and help them pave the way to a brighter financial future.
Let's talk about this teaching component. I know that financial education, my understanding, that is something that is important at the credit union. So when you say you teach budgeting, you now have classes now?
We do.
Okay. And how long have you been doing those?
At the credit union?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much from day one. Every individual that comes in, we sit down with them when they're filling out a loan application and we go through their budget process. We can spend an hour or two or three or sometimes even 5 hours with an individual just trying to get them on track with their budget so that the bills are paid on time. They know exactly what's coming in as far as income, what's going out as far as their expenses. And by managing their income and paying timely, that also helps them build their credit. So the goal is to do everything we can to make them, to help them have the tools they need to actually manage their money and build their credit.
So it's not necessarily that it's in a group situation, but rather it's done on a one-on-one type basis.
We also hold group settings.
So the training you're talking about, is this for all individuals who open an account or just people who get a loan?
Every person that comes in for a loan application goes through the budgeting process. For the other members, if they're interested in doing a workshop with us, we have held workshops at the Edison Neighborhood Association. Mm-hmm. I brought in food. We made it a very relaxed atmosphere and just kind of talked about money matters and money coming in and expenses and how to manage it, and just made it very simple and relaxing, sitting around breaking bread talking.
So for those people who get loans, are they required? I mean, it's one thing to get information about budgeting. It's another thing that says, hey, okay, give me what is your household expenses and break it down. Are they required to do that?
In the loan application process, they are required. And what we find is a lot of times people don't really realize where their money is going. And so by that little education component, it helps them to understand exactly what their expenses are. We talk about ways to cut expenses. We talk about things that we can consolidate or maybe refi for them so that it gets them out of the more expensive payment and down to things that are more affordable.
Another thing that I understand is a priority at the credit union, I understand you're making inroads in trying to do outreach to the Hispanic community.
Yes, we are. We are actually the first credit union in Michigan to become certified as a Juntos Avanzamos credit union. Basically, what we're doing is we're offering fair products and services to the Hispanic community. We have literature in Spanish to help them for those that do not speak English or can maybe not read English. Because it's in Spanish, we can actually help them to understand what they're getting into. It's all standardized products and services. We accept the matricular ID. So we're doing everything we can to also help that demographic. Help them to understand exactly how banking works here in the United States, because some of them are from out of the country and they may not understand that. So there's a lot of outreach effort going there. We have a mentor credit union that is actually in New Mexico. And so, yes, that is one of our outreach programs also.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr.
And by the way, two of our customer service people are fluent in Spanish.
So we're able to communicate with them and help them understand from account opening all the way through even a loan.
Tell me about this mentor relationship with the bank in New Mexico. How does that work and what is that providing for the credit union?
It's everything. It helps us to understand how they've been implementing the program. This certification is something that is actually national. I went to a conference last year in Dallas and was introduced to the program through the National Federation of Community Development Credit Unions and learned about the program there. We had to do an application process, and I actually applied for the certification in Michigan and Happily, I can say we're the first credit union in Michigan to become certified in that. So what they do is they pair you up with a credit union that has already been working with this demographic. They've been doing I-10 lending, using matricular IDs, have products and services that kind of help us standardize all the way across the nation. So the relationship is really there to help us to know exactly how to do this so we're effective in helping the Hispanic community.
What is the matricular ID?
So it's actually a Mexican consulate ID, and we accept that ID for individuals that may not actually be U.S. citizens, but they're here living and, you know, their ID is from Mexico or from another country. And also with I-10 lending, you know, most people have a social security number. For individuals that are not citizens, they don't have that, but they can get an individual tax ID number, and then we can loan to them utilizing that.
By the end of 2013 calendar year, how many customers did you have, or I should say accounts did you have, and how many do you have now?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, when you first started in 2013, you said you opened your doors in January. At the end of the calendar year, 2013, about how many accounts, however you measure yourself, or customers did you have as compared to now?
Well, at the end of 2013, December, the end of 2013, we had about 50 members or 50 accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Today, as of July of 2017, we had a little under 700.
Yes.
What are you all most proud of in these, let's do the math, 4 years or so?
We're in our fifth year now.
Fifth year. You enter your fifth year. What are you proudest of in this period of time?
I think it has to really be our mission across the board. Knowing that you're helping change a person's life, we've helped people go from potentially being homeless. We've helped them go to the doctor, repair their cars. We pre-approve them for vehicle loans so that they don't have to get caught in that predatory cycle with the financing companies that are taking advantage of low credit scores. We have wonderful success stories of building people's credit and helping them learn to budget and manage their funds. Two of my favorite stories has to be the one with the person that was almost homeless, came in and said, "Angela, you don't realize what you did for me last year when you gave me that loan." And so I knew we did underwriting and we offered the person a loan, but what I didn't know was the place that they were living in was going to be, I believe, demolished, and they didn't have the deposit to get into a house elsewhere or an apartment, and if we had not offered that loan, they would be homeless. We've had individuals that have gone to dealerships in the past and have been taken advantage of with the low credit score and had a predatory loan that was unaffordable, had a week off being sick, maintained a job for many years, but had 1 week of illness and couldn't keep up with the car payment because it was almost $500 a month. What the predatory financing does is they say, okay, well, you have to pay me back that payment and the next one immediately, or they'll repo the car. So they take the car away from that individual, they can't get to work. So this person was paying 25% interest, came in upset one day, and I sat down and talked with them and said, "Let me see if I can get you out of this loan." So I personally called up the financing company and said, "Let me refinance this, let's talk about the balance, see if we can work out something agreeable." We were able to reduce the balance on that loan and get him out of a 25% interest, and I think he was paying 12 or 14%. And it literally took his payment from almost $500 down to about $250 a month. So it's these things that we're doing. We sat down afterwards, taught him how to budget, got him on a program where all the bills are being paid out of his account, everything's on time. And that individual came in originally quite stressed with the situation he was in. And afterwards, now he comes in and he's just a carefree, really happy individual. So you can see the difference in their faces. You know, you can see the difference in the way they look at you and how they smile and how they feel about themselves. And I think that's the rewarding part of it.
You know, one of the things, too, that comes out of all of this is we can take a person who comes in feeling hopeless. They don't know what they're going to do, where they're going to get the rent, whether they're going to be able to get out of the car they're living in. and give them a whole new lease on life. So that's what we try to do, and that's above any monetary goals or whatever, to give a person a new lease on life. That brings great satisfaction to us, and that's probably one of the main purposes of the reasons that we're doing what we do. You know, it's such fulfilling so fulfilling to do that.
I also would like to add, a lot of times when people come into the credit union, what they'll say is, I have really horrible credit. I've had bankruptcies. And we look at those individuals and say, we understand it's okay. Come on in. Let's work together and let's change this and pave the way to a brighter financial future. But initially, they're so used to being rejected because of their situation. And so when they realize that we're actually there to help and there's no judgment in it all, it changes the whole playing field for everyone that walks through the door. So it's more of a family, I think, than it is a job. It's a very rewarding atmosphere and career for myself. The board, the staff, everybody, they all really care about the people in the community, and we're trying to help.
Well, it sounds like, given how tough the economy has been, I bet this place is very welcoming to a great number of people. What's coming in the future? What's yet on your docket that you would like to do?
So we're actually looking forward to opening another location is the goal. We want to try to service the individuals that are living over on the north side. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to come across over to our location in the Edison neighborhood. So we feel if we can go to them and open up a location to service those individuals there, then we can also be more effective with more individuals within this community.
Well, we've long known that eventually we're going to have to go to the north side. And so we're just looking for a viable site to do that. So we're looking at possibilities. And one of the possibilities that we're looking at quite seriously, we don't know if it'll take place because it'll take additional financing, but sharing space with the Douglas Community Center would be a central place for us because they bring in a lot of traffic on the north side there. So that's a possibility that we're seriously looking at in expanding our services.
Have you begun talks about that?
Yes, we have begun talking to Cherie, who's the director there. And so we're tossing around some ideas of how we can make that come to pass.
For our listeners who may or may not know, why would your type of model of banking be useful to residents living on the northern end of Kalamazoo?
Well, just like the Edison, who was totally without any financial organizations there to service them, the north side does have at least one, but they're
traditional
of a credit
bank.
Union, who look at credit scores and things like that. And many of the residents, as it's an Edison neighborhood, don't qualify because their credit scores are not high. I mean, some do, but there are a large number of residents on the north side who don't have qualifying credit scores. And so they really need our presence there.
Thank you very much for joining us today. It sounds like you all have really made an impact so far in your 4 years going and going into your fifth year. Thank you for joining us today.
Let me just say one thing. Since we depend upon donations and grants to survive, we invite anyone who wish to donate to Community Promise Federal Credit Union or give us grants to help expanding our services. You're welcome to donate or to give us grants.
And since you mentioned that, I believe, didn't you begin with volunteers or a lot of volunteers in the beginning?
We still do.
Okay, so how does that, what's the mix of paid staff versus volunteer staff right
well,
now?
Well, we have a volunteer board. You know, mm-hmm. We have about 8 or 9 members on our board. And we volunteer our time to support the activities. If we're going to have, for instance, a table at a function, then we'll get people from our board or either other people from the community to come in and help man the tables, hand out literature, those types of things so that we depend upon to support us. We'll have members of the boards who will come in and help around the office there. To give support to Angela and her staff in the office. So those are the kinds of activities that our volunteers do.
I would say approximately 14, 15 volunteers, and we're always looking for more.
And how many paid staff members?
Five.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.